we don't want to take this as just some parable or something that he gave us. It's actually extremely significant in our walk. It gives us instruction, and then we're going to go through examples. Now, the instruction here, as you see it, let's read it, and then I'll kind of explain to you what the instruction is showing. Then we'll give examples of how this is so significant to us. And then hopefully it'll open up our eyes to see, are we doing this today? It starts off, and we see, if you turn your bulletins over, Matthew 7, 13, 14. We have there are only two paths and only two outcomes. Now, this is life, period, believe it or not. I know we think there are multiple paths, but God is saying very clearly there are only two paths and only two outcomes. Now, I'll explain why that's so important. Matthew 7, 13 to 14 says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only few find it. Now, I put a note down there for you to understand that the gate is the way in case you didn't know that, the doorway, and the road is the path taken once in. So the gate is how you get into the lifestyle you're going to go into, and the path is what you do when you're in there. Okay? So the reason why he uses wide and he uses narrow and he uses broad and he uses small is to show something here. And let me go over the wide and broad first. Some may look at that and you may say, well, how come he didn't call that one many? Because that includes everything else, right? Small and narrow just includes Christ, period. That's it. Nothing else. And he gives us the destination of that. So how come the other one shouldn't be called many? Because he's saying to us, understand that it's wide because it looks like it's giving you variety, but they're all going to the same place. Did y'all get that? You may take these many different ways, different religions, different lifestyles, and you see many people doing these things. And today, what's slowly happening is Christians are giving some of them a pass. Well, they were this, so they'll be fine. Well, you know, they were another religion, so they'll be fine. How about this person? They were a good person, so they'll be fine. And it's not saying that. Are they on the narrow path or on the broad one? That's the question. Because the path is going to show you where you're headed. Okay? And he's letting us know that the ones on that wide path, even though it looks like many, it's still the same path, are headed for destruction. And there's multiple ways of entering this path. That's why it's saying wide is the door. Now, the reason why this is so significant is today, this is mainstream Christianity. We have made it so broad and so wide and so inclusive, we've excluded and not realized we have left the small and gone into the broad. We have accepted multiple ways or multiple paths, not realizing we're headed to destruction if we don't get on the right path. Because he gave us the answer. He started off with enter through the narrow gate. I'm going to show some examples here. So what this list is going to give us, we're going to take some topics on the left-hand side, and then we're going to show what the broad shows and then what the narrow says. Now, here's what's important. In a lot of these cases, you're going to see that the broad still has what the Bible does say. In other words, what the narrow says, but with other things. Did y'all get that? I'm going to say that again. They're going to still have what the narrow has, but with other things. And that's what makes it dangerous. Look what it says. Good example. Marriage. The broad says having sex without marriage. Marriage, divorce, marry again with no exclusion, however you want to do it. Marry whoever you want, same sex, different religion. Only those in a marriage have to honor that marriage. Okay? So you look at this, and this is with marriage today, and we see the same thing in churches, and churches are accepting this as long as you love each other and it doesn't matter. No guidelines, no anything when it comes to marriage. What does the narrow say? It says between one man and one woman, sex is made for marriage only. Unmarried must respect the marriage of others. Divorce and remarrying only because of infidelity must be on the same faith path. I put scripture here, so hopefully all you are going to check me, and you'll check with other scriptures too to make sure. But do you notice how it now narrows it down? You don't have these varieties. You don't have these many things that you can do. And it's a sacred thing that you got to do it based on what he says. That's what narrows it. Do y'all get that? Okay. Broad makes it so you can do this and you'll still be fine. But you can still do this and you'll be fine. But don't worry about you could do this and you'll be fine. How about this and you'll be fine. And we add all these other things in there. And he's saying, once again, destruction. Very dangerous. That path that we're allowing ourselves to head to. Because how marriage is and how he showed us, he gave us that narrow. And this is it. Think about this. God didn't give us his word in order for us to take and then readjust as we see fit. Let me give you another thing, that marriage or none of the things in the Bible was made to adjust to culture. It was never meant to adjust to time. It was timeless. It's cultureless. Remember, our citizenship is from heaven. He's giving us righteousness. So if culture's not already doing this, culture is wrong. Does that make sense? You can't go, well, we've already done this, we've accepted it, and it's fine. No, if God says it's not, then it's not. And the outcome is going to be the same. Let's look at another example, worshiping God. Now, today, you know, and what churches have done is they've said, what can I do to get more people to come and the people to enjoy themselves and to keep people's attention? So we've added, worship God the way you want. So we have people, that's your experience, that's between you and God, enjoy yourselves and just praise God the way you want. Do it based on how you feel. So you'll see people have doing different actions, following different ways, doing it in a way that they feel because they get an emotional experience when they worship God. God doesn't care as long as you worship him. That's what it's saying. So God's saying, man, as long as you worship me, just I don't care how you do it. Everybody just worship me. You know, just go ahead and do it. And it's all different things. Just follow me. And we can worship the way others worship their God. So it's good to go to other religions and say, man, I like the way they did that. I'm bringing it back. That's broad. Very dangerous. Very wrong. Okay. Once again, look at all that variety. That's why you have some people go, I don't need to go to church to worship. I heard people say that. I'm a Christian. I don't need to go to church to worship God. I'm okay. All right. And I know what the Bible says, but God, me and God have a relationship. Okay. I don't have to do this or that. And you hear them say this stuff of worshiping God. But the narrow says you must, everybody say must, worship in spirit and truth only. Now, that right now narrows it down to it better be in the Bible how you worship him. Because the Bible is spiritual and the Bible is truth. So how I worship him has to be particular. Remember, I give you the example. In the Old Testament, they were notorious for, not notorious for doing it, but if you use that as a good example, if you did any of the practices he said wrong when it came to sacrifices and worshiping him, you could die. And we all seen that clearly. Today, we should have the same reverence for him. Let me make sure I'm doing it the way he said. Like I said, they could have came there and said, I'm going to sacrifice a giraffe. I'm going to sacrifice something else because that's what I want to do. That's what I'm feeling. You know what? I don't feel like sacrificing today. Not realizing the danger that they ran into. And that's exactly what happened to the Israelites because they just stopped. They start doing it their way. They start worshiping other gods. Okay? God never intended us to come together and coexist with others. There's only that one path of worship. We must offer ourselves to God his way. When it says offer your body as a living sacrifice, and then there's a part in it that we always leave out, holy and pleasing to God. So I can't go, God, here's my body. I'm going to do this for you. What I'm going to do with my body in the name of God better be in the name of God. It better be what God said, not my version of it. Did y'all get that? So I got to do something that God is saying, yep, that's exactly how you should worship me with your body. I'm going to give you instruction to do it the way I tell you to do it. Don't mimic other religions' way of worship. Just do what the Bible says, not adding or taking away from it. In fact, if you ever get a chance to look at the Deuteronomy 12, he even said to the Israelites, you're going to go to a land, you're going to see them worship their gods, and you are not to worship me that way. Do you understand? He made that very clear. That same concept still works for us. But unfortunately, even in our walk, we still add what we see others do because we're impressed, because we're pulled in by it, because it's an emotional attachment. And God's going, you're not worshiping me then. That is not worship. Do y'all get that? Okay. That's what makes it narrow, because it's sitting in a way that only he says it. So you are in this narrow path and it must be done this way or it's not done at all. See that? Look at another one. Daily provisions. In today's world, how we do it, I still call myself a Christian, but I got to make a lot of money. You know, my status and all that. It doesn't matter how I get it. You know what I mean? If it's a job and if my job's making me a lot of money, and once again, it's all about a lot of money. And everything's based on me making the money that I need to make and how I need to. Do all that is possible to keep the economy great. So I got to work on keeping things good in this world so then I can keep making money in my 401k and my money, and all of that is straight, right? So in other words, I'm really looking at my finances, my career and all of that stuff, and then trusting God. Now, that's great. Remember, I told you some of these will have what the Bible says, because that last part, absolutely, trust in God. Now, once again, a lot of people say trust in God, but do you notice how I put all those other ones first? Because that's exactly what we do. We make sure my money's right, make sure my savings are right, make sure my retirement's right, make sure my career's right. All of this stuff got to be right. Okay, now, God, I'm going to trust in you, because I got all this stuff to back me up, instead of just trusting in God. In fact, most of us live with the mindset of the me being the provider for me, that I'm the one doing it. And in any minute, God can take it all away. In any minute, God has allowed that to happen in many cases. Now, what God says very clearly, seek first God's kingdom and God's righteousness. Very clear. My provision, that answers it. Now, if I truly do this, all that other stuff will fall into place. I may gain or lose money. It doesn't matter to me, because I still have my provider. The economy could go up, economy could crash. Doesn't matter. I still have my provider. You know, when I seek his kingdom and his righteousness, it keeps me working the way I'm supposed to work, but I'll leave a job the minute it goes against what his morals tell me that I live, when it goes against how I'm supposed to be and in him. Do y'all get where I'm coming from? None of the work or my finances will dictate anything. I will answer to him for everything, realizing that everything down here is just a resource, but he is my source. Do y'all get that? He gave this. He says, you do nothing else but seek first his kingdom and his God's righteousness. We did this in a Bible study, I think. Bible study or one of my steps. We did it in something. But I remember when we went over to show the significance of how that covers everything. But it's making us focus it through and based on him. But if you stop and look at our lives today, we put our work, how much money we have, our careers, then God, right? We bring all this in and say, God, this is my protection here. Can you bless it? It doesn't work that way. It does not. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. That's the narrow way. That's it. That you don't do it this way, you're living on borrowed time. I'll tell you this right now. There are many cases where, and it's shown, like I said, 2008, I got to read a lot of stories during that time where there were people who had the exact amount saved up. I mean, their plan was perfect, and it was responsible based on world. If you talk to the world and they saw what they did, people did exactly what they were supposed to. Then it crashed. A lot of them had to continue working. A lot of them, their travel plans went out the door. A lot of things ended. You know what I mean? A lot of stuff that they were going to do ended. And they were crying, why did this happen? And the problem was, none of them were depending on God. Depending on God, you would have been prepared for it. You wouldn't depend on it. I'll have it, but if God takes it away, oh well. If God gives it, oh well. Remember Job? You know what I mean? You know, he said, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He was like, this is all God. My provider is God. Here's another one. Dealing with enemies. The world's way, or the broad way of dealing with enemies, revenge. One way or the other, we get something back. We have revenge again. Get them before they get you. Sometimes we get at them knowing they're getting ready to do something to us. So I'm going to get them before they do anything to me, because I got to protect myself, right? We throw that out there. Completely avoid them. We don't get along, so I go over there, they go over here. I, me, all about me, right? Love and pray for them. There we go again. Then we do add something that God says. So I'll do all the other stuff ahead of time, but I'm still going to love in my own way of loving and pray for them. The problem with this one is it adds all these other elements in there, right? And then we try to once again add the godliness in the end. After I get me comfortable, then I'll go, okay, now God, I'll do your part. Well, God shows us, do not repay evil for evil. Instead, react with kindness and love. Revenge belongs to God. We see that in Romans 12, 17 to 21, and it shows us this, that, and that's the concept that it shows us throughout the entire Bible. I'm never, ever, never, ever, ever to get back at anybody. Never. That's never an option. Do you understand that? And unfortunately, as we say that, we still do it. We'll still see people, something will happen to them, and they'll stop speaking. They'll become cold. They become distant. Y'all do know that's all revenge, right? No, Pastor, I'm just reacting. No. You're reacting because of. Why is that love? Explain how what you just did is love, right? You know, silent treatment, talking about them behind their back, right? You didn't hit them the way they hit you, but you did do something in reaction to what they did to you. That's not revenge. Broad. And God's saying this, and like I said, this is in the church. Church is very common in doing this. You see people doing this, and they think they're righteous in doing it. And they may even be worldly justified. If they told you what that person did to them, you go, yeah, I probably wouldn't speak to them either. But what did God say to do? Right? How are you dealing with it in a godly way? So this is why the narrow protects us. It's saying, no, you keep loving them. I'll handle it, is what God said. You keep doing what you're supposed to do. I'll take care of it. Because the minute you don't take care, do what I tell you to do, I got to take care of you also. Do y'all get this? I now put myself in danger of God for not staying in God's protection. Remember, all this is not to restrict us. It is to protect us. He's not doing it to play favorites with our enemies. Not at all. He's like, oh, they're still going to get punished. Don't you now get my line of punishment. Just do what I tell you to do. The only way this works is when I stop making it about me. We're such an about me age today. You know, our world today is so much about me. Let me tell you what they did to me. And they really hurt me. And I'm so upset. And me. Right? And it's so much about us. And we think God's making it about us too. Yeah, Keith, you shouldn't allow that happen to you. Well, I'm going to hear and you're going to go, what did I tell you to do? Simply put, do not repay evil for evil. Instead, react with kindness in love. How often? All the time. He doesn't give exceptions here. Do you understand this? The love will show us. There's going to be some times where I do have to disconnect, but only based on God, because that's love. There are going to be some times I'm going to have to avoid, but only based on God, not based on Keith. Y'all get this? All right? That's when you do it based on love. Narrow keeps me in that mode. And I think we struggle with this as Christians. I know we struggle because we do the broad. We do it all the time. You see people react, and we give them this, well, you know what they went through. Stop living in danger. That's a dangerous way to live. Let's look at another one. Relationships with the world. Another one that we do effortlessly on the broad side. It says, partner with the good part of the world. It's a good idea, right? What part of the world is good? Y'all got to tell me that. Show me a map to it. Honor your country as you honor God. That sounds great. Then what's wrong with that, right, Pastor? There's nothing. I should honor. Let's talk about it. Work on making the world a better place. That's what I should put my energy into. I know a lot of this you're looking at and going, Pastor, I don't see anything wrong. Hopefully you're not seeing that. Hopefully you understand this. Revere our home country. Now, here's the problem with all of that. Two main verses, and we see it in 1 John and we see it in James, where he makes very clear we are not to love or partner with the world at all. Two verses. One, he says, do not love the world or anything in the world. Anyone who loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I remember the first time I read that, it impacted me in such a way. And it probably wasn't the first time, because it was the time where it first hit me. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. Because he didn't make any exclusions in there. We do that. Because in our minds, we're thinking he's talking about, China. Or he's talking about, some other country. Or he has to be talking about some other place. That other place I drove through and they were horrible people. He's talking about them. No. He said, do not love the world or anything in the world. In fact, he says, friendship with the world is hatred towards God. Y'all hearing this? Hatred. Towards God. He's saying, you don't have to say you hate me, but by loving the world, partnering with the world, you're saying you hate me without saying it. Anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy to God, is what he says. Those are devastating. Those are huge. And you still see people thinking, and in their minds, he's adding, except, right? He's not talking about. He must be excluding. And you see our partnerships happening. We have a respect while we're here, but our citizenship is in heaven. The Bible narrows us down to, no. You are just to minister to bring people out of the world. Do y'all get this? Now, I know it seems holy and great for us to go into the world, connect with the world. I met some good people and I see some good places. And based on Keith, I'd agree with you. That's why I hope you're not doing anything based on Keith. Because Keith is wrong. You understand? We do it based on God. And God's saying, oh no, all the world is evil. Bring them to me so that they accept me. That's our job. I'm going to destroy the world. So you can make it a better place all you want, and I'm going to destroy it. It's like you going into a house, straightening it up, cleaning it up, buying new furniture and everything like that, and then when you leave out of it, they set it on fire. What was that all for? And that's exactly where it's headed. However, your job is to go in and make sure nobody's in there, get the people that are in there and get them out. That's our job. Narrow. That's it. But we got caught up more in, I'm attached to this place and I feel this place and there are some good things of this place. Instead of recognizing what the Bible says about this place. Amen? Okay? So we see that very clear. He says, do not do it. But when I read all those other things, I'm telling you, in our hearts, we all have a strong feeling of all the above. We tend to lean on these other things because that honor. Like if you didn't know any better, you would really think that honoring of your country was a God-given thing. If some churches on 4th of July, that's their whole service, will be on that. Danger in that is we're not supposed to have that. Have respect, thank God for things that are going on, but you need to look to, I got a minister to get people out of. Think about that. It's a very strong one. How about desires? Now, this is the thing that's killing us. This thing that's hurting us, because our desires is what I want, what I feel. It shows I can do, and this is what the, under desires, what the broad says. The broad says, pursue them. You only live once. Right? How many times y'all heard that? That's where we got the whole bucket list thing from. You got to do it because you'll never do it again. Go jump, climb up a mountain, jump out of a plane, all that other stuff. Honor your country. Make them a priority. Okay? So a lot of us, main reason why church gets in the way, because I got life to do. I got stuff I got to do. Amen. You'll come to church and you'll hear we got to study and I got to do that. I don't have time to do that because I have things I want to do. I always encourage, sit down, write down a list of all the stuff your schedule throughout the day and explain why you don't have ultimate time for God every day. After you look at your schedule, give me now your explanation. Well, that was nap time. My show I'm watching here. Okay, I had to binge watch this one. I had to eat here. I want to be bored here. I'm going to drive. You right? You'll go through your list. Work. Okay, I look at work. Yeah, because it's my provider, right? Yeah, you see where I'm going with this. But you don't do it. We're not doing it. It goes on to say, make sure you at least get some of them and live hungry for what you desire. In fact, some people encourage those who have the strong desires and dreams are the most healthy and strongest people, even though that's not the truth. After that. So the broad looks at you having desires, building your desires, growing in your desires. In fact, one of the things when we're talking about the world that the world does, it says the love of the anyone who loves the world, the love of the Father is not in them. And it says for everything in the world, one of them is pride of life. Okay, because it starts off with the three of them. It starts off with the lust of his eyes, right? And the craving of sinful man. It's craving of sinful man and the lust of his eyes and the pride of life. Those are three things that the world offers us. The cravings of sinful man means the world offers me my desires. If I give and live for the world, it'll cater to my desires. The lust of his eyes means it'll show me desires I didn't realize I had. So it's going to give me more desires. Right? I told you I went to one place and we tasted a food. It was a type of ice cream I've never tasted before. And now I crave it. So now I got another thing I got to crave. Do y'all see how that works? But that's what he's saying. Now you got exposed to and you think it's great. Instead of just going, I enjoyed it and move on. Now, oh, I really want that. That's what commercials and all that do. And we go after what we want, not after what he says. Y'all with me? Okay. So that we get that pride of life get in the way. And then the boasting of who I am, the me thing gets in the way as well. But what does the narrow say? We are to do nothing. Everybody say nothing. What does that include?
Everything.
So we are to do nothing based on us or how we see it. Absolutely nothing on us or how we see it. A true Christian denies self for Christ. We are to live content no matter the situation. Desires are only done within God's boundaries. He makes that clear about desires. We do a sermon on danger of desires. I'll probably be doing it again next year. But the thing of showing, why is that such a danger? Because we've allowed our desires to distort God. If you're very careful and you'll look at the way the church is, we're not following this narrow path because of our desires. I know God said I only can do this, but I really want to. Right? And that's why we've changed it. We've distorted God based on what we want. Look at these other two. Freedoms. I can do what I want when I want to. That's about the mindset of us today. What I do is my business. Others just have to deal with it. So in other words, as long as I'm doing it, I should be able to do it. And I don't care what it does to you because it's me. It's for me. I live for making me happy. So if making me happy hurts you, boo-hoo, right? As long as I'm happy. So I'm selfishly living for me, and there are no boundaries. So if I did this and I didn't enjoy it and I have to go a step further, I'm going to go a step further. As long as I feel good about it, because God just wants to make me happy. That's what they think. That's the broad way. But the narrow says, my freedoms were never meant to cater to the flesh. In other words, my freedoms were never meant to cater to me. He didn't make me free so I can go out and be what I want to be. If my freedom causes someone to fall, I sin. Even if what I did is not wrong, right? So if I do something because I'm allowed to do it, but it hurts you, I'm wrong. That means I got to watch how I do what I want to do and how it may affect you. We are to use our freedoms to live as servants to God. Do y'all get this? It's within his, once again, narrowness. When somebody says Christians are narrow-minded, absolutely. Yes, you better be. We are narrow-minded. Yep, because he only gives us a narrow path. He gives us one way. Why does he give us that way? Because he's just being mean? No, because there's only one way out. Do y'all get this? There is only one way. All these other doors people are going to, the minute they open them, destruction. That's what he's trying to explain. The last one, getting to heaven. Very important. Now, in today's world, you look around, you got a lot of people who kind of live in this mindset of, well, I'm going to heaven, I'm a good person. In fact, I've met a lot of people, and I'm not going to lie, when I step outside of my spirituality, I give a ton of people a pass. When I look at them and I meet some kind people and some people who really mean well, and we can go down the list of all that, I'm giving them a pass. Keith is. In other words, I'm putting them in danger. It's like me looking at somebody in the water drowning, going, they're really not drowning. Now, they're going to die because I made a new determination of what drowning means. Because I'm looking at them and not saying what God said about it. I'm saying, oh, they'll be fine. In fact, they follow this. There are multiple ways to get to God. We tell people, doesn't matter what church you go to, as long as you go to church. Isn't that what we say? Just go to church. It does matter where you go. You better be being fed. You are responsible for that. Remember I told you, God is not taking role. Okay, you have to think of it this way. The test will still be given. You fail, guess who it's on? And you can't get the answers on your own. Cannot. Absolutely not. No, the Holy Spirit won't give you the answers. Do you understand that? He works with you, working through him. Do y'all get this? Okay, must understand that. All religions have a way of getting to God. You have a lot of people that say, you know, we're all going to the same place. We're all getting to God. I told you the group that was called Promise Keepers. I think that was their key to get all the Christians to say we have in common. Everybody say Christ. Sounds great. You get to start talking to other people. Their concept of Christ was different. And it was like, oh, wait a minute. Now we have a problem. So do we really all worship Christ? Yeah, different ones that had different versions of Christ. So it wasn't Christ. That was a major problem. But on the surface, it looked great because everybody was together. We were singing the same songs. We were listening to things and accepting some of it and not accepting others. And everybody was just their differences. And these were very important differences. But we're saying, don't worry, but we're not just including Christians who have different viewpoints. We're talking about other religions. We're like, you know what? You go and see the Muslims, man, the way they're praying, they're definitely going to heaven because they showed a lot of passion. Go to Jehovah's Witnesses, man, they're doing it exactly like it, and they're following what they want, and they're doing great. Talk to the Mormons, man, they're doing exactly what they need to do, and they're going, and God's not going to just let them die. And that's our answer. Because we're saying all religions get to God. And as long as I'm good, I'm going to heaven. This is a common one, especially when we have family members and we have friends that we love very dearly and they have nothing to do with God. Immediately we make it peaceful in our mind. That's okay. God's going to let them go because they're going to see what I see. That means he'd be walking by your sight. Right? Do y'all get this? He lets us know in the narrow path there is only one way to God in heaven, and that's Jesus. Only those that do God's will are going to heaven. He made that very clear. He says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only he who does the will of my Father. Narrow. Yes, it excludes a ton of people. A ton of people you love. And that's what would make it an urgency for me to get to church, to get an understanding, so my life can live as a ministry, not for my own desires. Y'all with me? Why? Because every day I have an opportunity to somehow minister, because every day is one more day that I could have lost them and they'll be lost forever. Do y'all get this? That one and that only path. It's all we have. This is very important because if we don't look at this and really take this serious, we're going to still keep staying on this broad road and feeling good about it. And how you feel is not the answer. What he says is the answer. Let's end it with the road to life is narrow because there is only one way, as we've seen. And this is in John 14, 6 through 7. He says, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. And I put emphasis on the way and the key word, the. What he's saying is there is only one way. He's saying, I am it. And he makes very clear, no one comes to the Father except through me. So everybody else who think they're getting to the Father, that are not going the way, they're not getting to the Father. Are y'all with me? And hopefully it stirs something in our spirit that we go, I got work to do. Why am I wasting so much time on me? And am I taking the way? If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Covering this as an all, we have to make sure that that way, that narrow path, is so necessary, not just because we're narrow-minded, it's to protect us, to make sure we're going the right way. Because only those who take that path will have eternal life. Everyone else will experience destruction. Amen.